Item 11, from Corporation Counsel, submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. This item is also considered by the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit, and is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, supervisors, I think this can be fairly brief, subject to your questions, and I'll just go through the memo that you have in front of you and just highlight a couple items. Under number two, the various lawsuits related to the retirement health plan and copays and deductibles, the so-called Hussey case, that was decided in the county's favor in the federal district court and then appealed to the U.S. Seventh Circuit and again affirmed and decided in the county's favor. The plaintiffs asked for reconsideration, and since this memo was issued, the Seventh Circuit has denied that reconsideration. So the only avenue left to the plaintiffs would be the U.S. Supreme Court, which I think is unlikely for them to even try, number one, and even if they try, unlikely for the Supreme Court to take it, number two. So I believe that, although it's not final, I believe that that decision is likely to stand, which the effect of that decision is that the county does have the ability to charge copays and deductibles to the retirees consistent with the way they handle active employees. On the next page, number three, is a Medicare Part B premium case. This relates to reimbursement of retirees' premiums for Medicare Part B coverage, which the county eliminated a couple of years ago for retirements after April 1st of 2011. The unions who brought that case, the Nurses Union and the Attorneys Union, brought that case, and the Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the unions, finding that the county could not take that benefit away from people who were eligible for it. The Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the county, and the plaintiffs have appealed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court has stated that they will accept the case. And so the briefing will now occur in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they'll hear the case later this year. Connected to that, under number four, the Stoker case, which is the pension multiplier case, that decision went in favor of the employees and against the county, and the county has asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take that case. It's just a time sequence. It's a little bit behind the other case, and so we have not heard yet from the Wisconsin Supreme Court whether or not it will take that case. And we're hopeful that it will, because there are similar issues, the Medicare Part B premium case and the pension multiplier case, but we do not yet know.
Supervisor Weisshen.
Thank you. I thought that anything that was going to go to the state Supreme Court would come back before this committee, before any kind of paperwork or anything was done, that we had...
Excuse me for interrupting, but it did.
Sure.
It went through the... I can't remember which month it was, but it did go through the county board. I think it passed 10-8, if my recollection is correct.
December.
In December, maybe.
Stoker case appeal.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple cases blurred together here, I guess, because I thought, all right, because Supervisor Broderick can, we had quite a lengthy discussion on things going to the appeals court versus the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I believe the Judiciary Committee provided a negative recommendation, but the county board passed it by a slight majority.
Maybe that's,
yeah, it is very cool.
I don't have anything of significance on any of the other cases on that page. Happy to answer questions. Just as a precursor, on number 12, this is the public records case brought by the Milwaukee Transit System against the county. I'm anticipating bringing a settlement of the attorney's fees. The court ordered the public records to be produced, and that makes the plaintiffs entitled to attorney's fees. We've negotiated a settlement of $18,000 for attorney's fees, which I'll be bringing to this committee next cycle. And then last, we have added a case to the list, which was in the newspaper recently, a case where an inmate of the jail filed a lawsuit over sexual assault by a correction officer. It's been filed in federal court. That case is going to be handled by outside counsel assigned through the insurance company. For reasons that I don't want to get into publicly, we believe there are good defense arguments that can be made in that case. But it's very early. And then any questions?
Supervisor Weisshen.
on 11 is, I guess, similar to 12 with the attorney's fees, with the records being brought. When do you think you would have a solution for that?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, on number 11, the circuit court sent the parties to a mediation session with retired Judge Skorowski to see if we could resolve the attorney's fee issue. We were unable to do so. The request is substantial. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I want to say that the request for attorney's fees is around $130,000 or $40,000, which we believe is out of line. The plaintiffs were unwilling to compromise that in any significant extent. The mediation did not last very long. So we are going to be back in circuit court for the judge to make a decision on how much should be awarded. We don't have a date set for that. I would expect it would be set sometime in the next month or two, and we'll get a decision. And at that point, it will be a decision. It won't be a settlement. It'll be a decision, and the only decision will be whether we appeal or not.
What was, like, our offer? They want 130. What did we think is reasonable?
I don't know that I had a specific dollar amount as a limit of what we would offer. I think we are probably looking at something in the vicinity of half of that.
Thanks.
Is there any addition to the list in terms of an action by the Department of Transportation on transit?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I don't have an answer as I sit here right now to that question. There's been consultation with the department and with the county executive about that, but I don't have a decision from them on what their intentions are. I'm expecting one, frankly, any moment, but I don't have one right now.
So the committee can be clear, Corporation Council, can you just explain how that process would work relative to seeking approval from the Judiciary Committee?
Chairman and Supervisors, I'm glad to give some thoughts. And Mark and I have been talking about this a little bit, and we may tag team this here a little. But the Department of Transportation, or perhaps the executive branch, would have standing to appeal the decision of the special committee that reviewed the transit issue to the circuit court. If that's the case, I think, generally speaking, it's my view that the committee and the board's authority would be required to authorize that appeal as a county action, although that's not 100% ironclad. If the action was filed, then the committee would need counsel to defend it. Frankly, not sure that I could do it because my client is also the executive branch in the department, our office's client. So we'd probably be looking at outside counsel to defend the committee as well.
I'd like to understand under what scenario anyone thinks that they would not need judiciary committee approval to commence a lawsuit.
Mr. Chairman, this is governed by your ordinance. It is not, to my knowledge, governed by statute. In a fairly recent ordinance amendment from when Chapter 1 was revised approximately 2-3 years ago. And there's a number of arguments that could be made that approval is not required. And that's why I think Mr. Bargan says it's not certain of the answer. If you look at the language of the ordinance specifically, it says that the committee, subject to full board approval, shall approve the initiation of all suits or claims by the county against other persons or entities where the amount claimed exceeds $10,000. Those words literally don't apply to the situation. It is not a claim by the county against another person. It would arguably be a claim by the county executive or the DOT against an arm of the county board, if you will. And so purely technically reading the words, an argument can be made that they don't apply. I understand the committee's intent probably would be that, well, that's not what we intended. We intended every action to come before us. But as a lawyer, I can make construct an argument that those words don't apply to the situation. In it, if we can just finish, if you don't mind. In addition, there's the clause allowing emergency action where the committee doesn't have a chance to act. Because of the timing of this, it's possible that language would apply in the absence of a special meeting. There's also language that talks about obtaining injunctions under Chapter 813 of the statutes. Part of an action filed by the DOT or the county executive might include an injunction. Those are exempted from this section. And then the last argument, which I don't have a lot of real good authority for, but this came up with the sheriff's attorney's fees. And it's just conceptually, and again, I don't have case law authority or anything else to tie this to, but there's this notion, at least in my mind, that constitutional officers have to be given some amount of leeway to have attorney representation on issues that affect their areas of responsibility. And that was one of the things I brought up with the sheriff's lawsuit, is that if the county board, or excuse me, the corporation council is not going to represent a constitutional officer for whatever reason, then those constitutional officers, whether it's the treasurer, the sheriff, county executive, whoever, you can construct an argument that they ought to be given a reasonable amount of funding to be able to protect their interests, for lack of a better word. And again, that's not something that's been litigated or recognized, but I have a concern as a lawyer that that might be a concept that could be endorsed by a court.
Do you not draw a distinction between their right to representation because court counsel says they can't defend them versus their right to commence litigation?
Perhaps. This is a very nebulous concept, and I'm not hanging my hat on that argument by itself. I just think it's sort of a background concern that I have as a lawyer. My main point here is there is an ability for a lawyer to construct an argument that this ordinance doesn't apply and that your approval is not necessary. And so that's why there's uncertainty. Clearly, Mr. Bargan has indicated he believes that this ordinance does apply and does require approval, but there's a contrary argument that could be made on behalf of the department. And that's my only reason for stating it.
And then what about the question of standing? We told MB that they don't have standing to why would the executive outside of the department have standing?
I think the best answer I can give you right now is I don't have a firm answer on the approval question. I don't have a firm answer on the standing question until something actually happens. As far as I know, I have not been informed of any decision. I think that those questions are certainly issues that would come up either before the suit was filed or in terms of standing, might be something that a defense would look at or not. So.
But so the department would not have the same, could not use that the same creative option that they have any, they don't have the constitutional right to.
Correct.
This, so.
Correct. The question is this the Department of Transportation's claim to make, or is it the county executive who oversees the Department of Transportation, his claim to make? I'm not sure, as I sit here right now, the answer to that question. We're kind of in a weird world that I don't have any legal familiarity with. The laws don't contemplate this kind of action. You know, we had the only thing in my experience here at the county recently would be the furloughs case where the county executive had a lawyer, the county board had a lawyer, Milwaukee County had a separate lawyer. We had three lawyers paid through tax levy when we were litigating the rights and responsibilities between the various parties there. I can envision, at least conceptually, something similar here. Whether it's the county executive or the Department of Transportation having a lawyer, the ADRC or county board or whatever the defendant is having its own lawyer, similar situation. When the county officials get involved in litigation against each other, it just gets expensive.
Maybe I can just add to Chairman and Supervisors, maybe just to clarify, you're hearing potentially two slightly different views here. One thing that's happened here, and probably in an effort to help keep costs down, before I arrived in September, Mr. Grady had worked somewhat with DOT on the RFP and so on. then I came, and we wanted to staff the committee that was heard. So we agreed among ourselves that he would stay on that side of the issue to the extent they wanted to talk to him about the case, and then I would stay on the committee side and serve as staff to the committee. So we try not to compare notes on this issue very much, and we try not to, you know, certainly I don't ask him what they're thinking, and he doesn't ask me how's it going in the closed sessions of the committee, because that would be inappropriate. So we have tried to keep this distance on this particular issue. As Mr. Grady just said, it's an odd situation for a lot of reasons. And we did that so that, for example, the committee would not have to hire an outside counsel. And to the extent that Mr. Grady has something to offer to DOT, they could rely on his advice and not have to go outside further than they have already gone. So just wanted to explain that dynamic.
Thank you. I do think there's a flaw in all that concept, but obviously this is a big tangled knot, and it's not going to go away. So I would like to see something, or at least something, you know, so we can fix this going forward. It may not fix this problem, but we obviously, you know, got to do something going forward, because I just find this, you know, the executive is just the administrative arm. He's just another department head. You know, he doesn't have the constitutional protections like the sheriff. I understand, you know, the sheriff's part and all that, but you know, if it wasn't for one simple state statute, you know, you could eliminate that position as county executive. Every other county has the ability of a county coordinator or county administrator or county executive. So to infer that they have some kind of, you know, magical powers as county exec, I think is just wrong and stuff. And we need to make some clear, bright lines on this stuff. And I would hope that in the near future we could, you know, with the chair, that we work something out on this to get whatever our ordinance is, because I'll tell you, honestly, I get a little frustrated on this, because I come, you know, been out here for a little bit, core counsel's office comes down and says, oh, change this ordinance, we needed this, you know, the world's nothing but sunshine and rainbows. And then now we hear, oh, there's a hole in it, and oh, it's all screwed up, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it just gets a little irritating, because, you know, when you push and ask these questions, when we redo all these ordinances, we get some gobbledygook kind of stuff, and everything's going to be wonderful, don't worry about it. And then here, all I do is get another lawyer bill. So, you know, sorry to be a little frustrated on that, but I just think we need to go a step forward now on it. And if we can be preemptive, we'll do that.
Mr. Chairman, just two comments in response. The second one is, this amendment to the ordinance was done in consultation with Supervisor Jurisic. Now, I'm not trying to blame her. It was her idea. It was her idea to do this. I drafted it consistent with her notion. And to the extent there's blame to be had, it would be my blame for not anticipating that one arm of the county is going to sue another arm of the county, however it happened. The ordinance just didn't contemplate it because I didn't contemplate it. And so if there's a gap, it's my gap, but I also think it's a little unfair for me to have expected this to be happening. On the larger long-term issue about 110 appeals, et cetera, there has been discussion, at least with myself and the comptroller and a little bit with the county executive's office, about changes to that process, ordinance changes to that process, to try and it will never alleviate all these problems, but maybe streamline it and make it more consistent with best practices around the state and the country. The problem I foresee is that the comptroller had already suggested a revision several months ago that was not acceptable to the Finance Committee and was laid over or tabled. I don't remember the exact motion. And so the question is whether everybody agrees it needs a fix. The question is whether we can agree on what the fix should be. So, but there is some discussion about trying to do something with that ordinance to make it better. It's just whether we can get an agreement between all the parties on what the better is the question. So I would anticipate at some point a new proposal on that issue.
Mr. Bergen, so as I hear you, other than that that some other novel approach to this may be proposed. You generally seem to be telling us that you do not believe that that action is appropriate, that an action commenced by the... that the action would appropriately come before the committee.
For approval. Yes.
So that it would be inappropriate for an action to be to circumvent committee approval.
That's my general view, yes.
Would you put that in writing, please?
Sure.
I'd appreciate that. Seeing no objection, we'll order that.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on that point, I told Chairman Cullen of the Finance Committee at agenda setting that apart from any future appeal from the ADRC's decision, it had been my intention to bring to the Finance Committee under the so-called passive review process an amendment to the outside counsel's contract that has been representing the Department of Transportation. And that amendment was ready to go, but it did not envision any further work beyond the ADRC. And so what I told Chairman Cullen at agenda setting was that depending on the decision of the county executive and DOT on what they want to do on an appeal, I would still intend to present an amendment, a funding request amendment, to the Finance Committee. It's just a question of what the dollar amount will be. Is it going to be just for the work that's effectively been done or to finish up the public records case, or is it going to be a larger amount for a proposed appeal? So the Finance Committee should be receiving that one way or the other, hopefully in time for their meeting next week. So at least the funding issue will go before a committee apart from the issue you raised about approval by this committee of the actual action.
Okay. Although it seems inconsistent to me that the Corporation Counsel's office would forward a funding request that if it includes additional work for a lawsuit, if they find for such a request for authorization for a lawsuit to come before the committee. So the finance, bifurcating the finance question, which has the Act 14 passive review from the ordinance requirements, I find problematic and inconsistent.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would require both approvals.
Okay, and that'll be in your opinion. All right. Anything further? Seeing no further questions from committee. Thank you, gentlemen, and we are adjourned.